Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
WUMP Madison. W28OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. The Valley's home of the Atlanta Braves. Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? Who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to Hour Number 2 in the Doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
You know, there was a time many, many years ago that a young Dan Schwartzman sat in that very chair that young Antonio Macbeth is sitting in now. And so Tony Mack gets Dan Schwartzman on now, who's a big, you know, he's a big star because he's NBC Sports Radio and all this stuff. And he answers the phone, and Antonio tells him he's calling for the Tom Abraham Show. And Schwartz says to him, "Who's Tom Abraham? Who's Tom Abraham is what Schwartz said. That's how it's gotten now. All right, that's where we're at now. Who's Tom Abraham? Dan Schwartzman joins us on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Schwartz. Why do you have to do that to my young guy? He's all, like, bent out of shape now.
He was scared. I mean, I could sense. He was like, what did I do wrong here?
Yeah. He's like.
I'm like, who's?
Tom told me that this guy was one of his guys. And how do we, you know, how do I? He doesn't even know who Tom is. I'm like, come on, Dan.
So let me guess. So he's sitting in that chair in the same old studio.
Yeah, doing a Saturday morning slap show. He's got the Saturday morning slappy show, you know, doing that thing and working
making
on that.
Tons of money. Yeah, I remember those days. Those
making tons
times.
Of money. He also does VNN, who you always wanted to be on. You know what I mean? You
I
always wanted to
VNN.
Do VNN.
Don't forget I did some VNN work.
A little bit, but I used to tell you, Dan, nobody cares to hear about the politics of a 25-year-old kid. You know what I mean? But now you're a grown-ass man, so now we want to hear about it. But he does Dale Jackson's show. He mixes the Dale Jackson show in the morning, and then he comes back and mixes my show in the afternoon. How about that?
And is he above the poverty line yet? Because I remember those days.
He's just a hair above the poverty line right now, but he's hoping to ride that bandwagon that so many of us have out of that building and into bigger and better things down the road. You know, he's doing it. He's focused. He's doing the best thing he can do now. But look at you now in New York City making big money.
Well, he'll get there. It's a great place. You know, obviously Huntsville is a fantastic place, Tom, and the Huntsville disciples of Tom Abraham and you know, going back to the Florida days as well, we all do well. So I have a lot of confidence in Antonio and his abilities to move on down the road and get the heck away from you, my friend.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do. I mean, even before I got to Huntsville, Damon Amendolera used to mix my show when he was 20 years old, you know, 21 years old. Now he's doing a great job for the gang over there at CBS Sports Radio in that same fine city that you are living in there. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, this Jets move that they made. They went up to 3. They go from 6 to 3. They pay a pretty good price for it. Do they really feel like they couldn't get the guy they wanted at 6?
I think this is how I view the Jets, all right? I think this is a very quarterback-rich draft, obviously, Tom. And I think when you look at the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks in this draft, and we're talking Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and I guess we can throw Baker Mayfield in there as well, maybe there's not a huge differential between those 4 guys. And the Jets at number 6 are looking at the Buffalo Bills in the same old division saying, look, Buffalo's got a ton of ammunition to move up. So let's trump Buffalo. Let's use the fact that we're still in the top 6 pick, which makes it more attractive for Indianapolis to make a move or the New York Giants to make a move or whoever to make a move. And let's make sure that we at least get one of the 3 of the top 4 quarterbacks. If the Jets get lucky, look, Cleveland will take Sam Darnold 1. The New York Giants will take Saquon Barkley 2. And then the Jets have a pick between Josh Allen, you know, Josh Rosen and also Baker Mayfield. And I think for the Jets, who have been quarterback starved for so long, it's an exciting move to move up. Now, here's the problem. If the Buffalo Bills or another quarterback-starved team moves up to number two and trumps the Jets, was it worth giving up 3 second-round picks to move up 3 slots to get possibly the third quarterback on your draft board? We'll never know what their draft board is, but that could be a problem.
Do you really think the Giants would take Barkley over a quarterback? I mean, I know that they got Eli there, but he's getting long in the tooth. And do you see them taking Barkley, or do you see them snagging whatever quarterback Cleveland doesn't take at one?
The problem is this: the New York Giants. They can take a quarterback at number two and take a pretty good one. I mean, let's face it, a Rosen or an Allen's a pretty good quarterback. The problem with that thinking is this. The New York Giants intend for Eli Manning to play a few more years. I mean, he's 37 years old. People tell us these days, when you look at these quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Tom Brady, that you can play till 40 years old. So if the Giants draft a quarterback, they may not use a second overall pick in their lineup for 2 years, maybe even longer. The Giants need help now. So do you draft somebody that can make an immediate impact now, or do you draft somebody that potentially isn't going to play till year three? And I think that's what the Giants have to, you know, kind of, they have to think about those different thoughts when they make their decision as to what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it makes a certain amount of sense to see that if that's where they want to go. And the thing is that, you know as well as I do, that these first-round quarterbacks, this is a 50-50 proposition. People, you know, they didn't believe me. I went back, I had to go all the way back to 2000 and run down all of the first-round quarterbacks. Half of them wash out. The problem is, if we look at Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, a guaranteed first-round quarterbacks, and possibly even Mason Rudolph and maybe Lamar Jackson as first-round quarterbacks, trying to figure out which three of these are going to be busts and which three of these are going to be, you know, regular starters, that's tough, man.
It is tough. And if you ask me who I think is the surest bet to be at least a good NFL quarterback, I'll go with Josh Rosen. You know, Darnold, to me, has great attributes. But Sam Darnold, to me, makes some really bad decisions. Josh Allen has all the physical attributes. He throws a football, 90 yards in the air. He's 6'5", 245, has humongous hands. The guy can throw a football in a perfect spiral through a snowstorm. But to me, Lamar Jackson is too much of a running quarterback in the sense of he's going to get killed out there. I mean, I've stood next to Lamar Jackson, and he is just a really skinny guy. I just don't see how he would survive in the NFL with big-time pass rushers. Mason Rudolph's a big kid, but I think there's a lot of issues with Rudolph in terms of can you develop him? So I think Josh Rosen, to me, is the safest bet to be the guy that succeeds.
Yeah. I like Rosen, although I wonder if he's too distracted, and I wonder how – Josh Rosen would play in New York. I mean, he's a California kid. I just wonder if he, you know, how he would hold up to that scrutiny, because he kind of gave us the impression when he was in college that, you know, look, football isn't everything. I can't even get the classes that I want. Well, NFL guy doesn't want to know you can't get the classes that you want, because the only class you're supposed to excel in is football class.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? He did excel on the field. And in the one game that he played against Sam Darnold this year, because remember, they've never actually played against each other, he dominated Sam Darnold. Now, USC won that game, you know, by a couple of points, but Josh Rosen really outplayed Sam Darnold. And I think maybe it's a little overrated when people talk about Sam, you know, Josh Rosen, because he comes from a more well-to-do family. His dad, I believe, is some prominent doctor. But I, he to me is a guy that if you really break down his – what he's gone through in college. Yeah, the hot tub in the dorm. Okay, so he enjoyed his college life. Who tries not to enjoy their college life? Okay, he wears a Trump hat, an anti-Trump hat. All right, fine. Maybe you don't agree with his politics, but did it really affect his abilities on the field? I don't think so. I thought he was a pretty good, solid quarterback in college who started as a freshman, got injured his sophomore year, and came back on a bad UCLA team his junior year without a lot of weapons and did a nice job. So I think it may be a little overrated the way that people want to talk about Baker Mayfield and his attitude, because he had a DUI or whatever it was and got arrested once. We think he's Johnny Manziel now. So I think it's all overrated, the facts that we bring up about Josh Rosen.
Well, and the other part, you know, with Josh Rosen, I think the anti-Trump thing will play well in New York City, though. I think they'd like his politics.
Absolutely,
there,
right? It would. You're right.
And he's got the right name to play in New York City, Josh Rosen. I would think
the chosen Rosen, my friend. I'll root for him.
The chosen Rosen, absolutely. Now, you mentioned Mayfield. He seems like the wild card in this whole mix. I mean, he might be Brett Favre. You know what I mean? I don't think he's Johnny Manziel. He may be Brett Favre, though. He may be a guy that has the most upside. He's not the safe pick. Sam Darnold, probably the safe pick. Josh Allen is a little bit scary. A lot of people have the Browns taking Josh Allen at one. Got great skills, but, you know, didn't do anything really at Wyoming. You wonder, you know, I think of when I think of Josh Allen, I think of Jay Cutler, you know what I mean? A guy that could, you know, throw the ball great, but, you know, he's not going to ever win you anything. But, you know, Baker Mayfield is, to me, the most intriguing guy in this deal. And if he goes to the right place, you know, that might be the big hit of this whole first round.
No, I agree with you 100%. Problem is, he's 6'3", right? And I know people are going to say, well, look at Drew Brees, look at Russell Wilson, look at Doug Flutie. Well, that's the only three guys we ever reach for when we talk about short quarterbacks that have actually succeeded, right?
Right.
They're the same three names. So I think there is a concern. But I do think he's underrated in the sense of his pocket passing abilities. If you go back and watch the tape, and I read a very interesting statistic that on passes over 20 yards in the air, he was the most accurate of any one of these quarterbacks in the draft at about 55% or so. I think Baker Mayfield's a heck of a player. I don't think he's a gimmicky quarterback. I do think he's got a good enough arm to throw out of the pocket. You just do sometimes wonder about the height. And when people talk about the comparisons of who he, you know, who he kind of reminds you of, and everybody brings up Drew Brees, I think there's a lot of Russell Wilson in Baker Mayfield. And I know people don't want to compare a white quarterback to a black quarterback or a black basketball player to a white basketball player. We always seem to have to compare race to race. The reality is, when you look at Baker Mayfield, I do see some Russell Wilson in him.
No, I think there's a lot of Russell Wilson. And remember, Russell Wilson, I mean, you know, he covers both sides of the deal, right? Because from what I understand, I think he's half. He's his mother or his father. One of them is white. You know what I mean? So he could cover, we could compare both black and white quarterbacks to Russell Wilson.
Let me tell you, though, I was fortunate enough that when I was in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl, I got to go to this Justin Timberlake album reveal, and Russell Wilson was there with his wife. I'll tell you what, he definitely outkicked the coverage on that one.
Sierra or Chiera Sierra.
Yeah, big coverage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, something like that. I was hoping that maybe he could play some third for the Yankees, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, he didn't look bad in that one at bat. I actually saw that. I don't understand how when the Yankees and the Mets played that they didn't have both Tim Tebow and Russell Wilson in that game. They both should have got an at bat in that game against each other. That would have been great.
Well, Tebow hit 1 of 18, so I think they had no choice but to send him down.
No, they had to send him down, but they still, when they were playing against each other in that spring game, they could have got him in it. Yeah, because I tweeted when the Yankees signed Russell Wilson, I tweeted that the Yankees had the best quarterback in New York City now. And I think that that's probably probably was true at that time. Dan Schwartzman with us. Lost in all of this conversation is old Teddy Bridgewater. And you know, he kind of shocked everybody when his first year was very good. He's missed two seasons with the injury. Now he comes back, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, but you wonder whether or not Teddy Bridgewater might have something to say about all of this.
You know what? That's a good – it's a nice signing by the Jets. He's, what, 25 years old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hasn't even, like, touched his potential yet. It's a low-risk, high-reward signing. I mean, it's not like they're paying Teddy Bridgewater a lot of money. And I think for the Jets, why not kick the tires on Teddy Bridgewater? Because here's the thing. Whoever they draft a quarterback is not going to play this year regardless, right? They bring back Josh McCown. They bring in Teddy Bridgewater. If Teddy Bridgewater somehow wins the quarterback job because he looks really good, let me tell you, all they're doing is adding trade value to a guy that they're signing for very little money anyway. So why not bring him in? I thought that was a nice move, and really there's no risk of bringing Teddy Bridgewater in.
If you're a 5-11 team anyway, though, and you draft a guy like Josh Rosen, let's say, all right, since that's the one we're kind of sliding in that three hole, if you draft that guy, I mean, this isn't baseball, you know what I mean, where you can hide Chris Bryant in the AA or the AAA for 2 weeks and then get another year of service or whatever. The clock is ticking, you know, and you're paying a guy first-round money, a third pick.
A
you know, it's a pretty good
it's
chunk
not
of
a
change.
Lot, though, Tom. Remember, it's slot money. It's going to cost him what? A number three pick's going to be, what, $6.5 million on the cap this year?
Yeah.
They brought back Josh McCown because, unlike the Brett Favre's of the world, Josh McCown's a guy that does like working with young quarterbacks. And I think if you bring in a Josh Rosen, you mentioned the fact of playing in New York or the scrutiny that you get, I think it makes sense to have him sit for a year, learn from a guy like McCown who's been around this league, who's been in every offense imaginable, and who's been like the consummate professional. I think it's a win-win. And again, it doesn't count much against your cap anyway because it's slot money.
They say Sam Darnold looked pretty good today, chucking it around. I don't know. I'm going to get an update. Anthony Heron was there, and he's a regular on the show, and I'm going to get an update from him later in the week on it. But they say that Darnold looked really good chucking it around. I know he did have a problem turning it over quite a bit, but where are you on Darnold? Is he the safe pick, or does he have superstar potential?
Well, a couple of things against him. One, he's a USC quarterback, right? That's a big problem right there. I don't have a lot of confidence in USC quarterbacks. Two, he does make some bad decisions. The throws that he makes in college where he thinks he could just put it right in because of his arm strength, it doesn't work at the NFL level, as you know. Those guys are too good at that level for you to try to sneak passes between corners and safeties. It doesn't work. I also got a chance to sit down with Sam Darnold at the Super Bowl, and he's kind of meek, you know? I wasn't really impressed with his I don't know, he was kind of a shy guy. I'm thinking, you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL? The last thing I want is a shy guy.
Yeah.
I want a guy who's got some moxie like Mayfield or got some ego like Josh Rosen. I don't want a, you know, just a shy guy that I worry about. Like, is he truly mentally tough enough to handle failure at the NFL level? Nice guy, but I wasn't overly impressed. You know he's going to chuck it around. The guy's got a great arm. The fact is, can he chuck it around with defenders out there? And the answer is, I don't know.
I hate when a guy says, I lead by example, I let my play lead me and all that stuff. And you know, that's crap. You know what I mean? You got to be somebody that can grab somebody by the throat. And that's one of the areas that Marcus Mariota has improved in quite a bit. You know, people talked about how, you know, he declined a little bit this past year. And, you know, there's circumstances to everything. If you just look at numbers, you could say that. But there are circumstances. He played through injury and whatnot to everything. But one thing he became was a better leader of grabbing a guy in a huddle and kind of taking control of that type of deal. And that's the thing that scares me a little bit about Darnold as well. I just think he's a little too laid-back California. And, you know, you're right about it. USC quarterbacks. I hadn't thought about that too much. I mean, outside of Carson Palmer, who had a nice career, ends up with a nice career.
Yeah.
Just nice. But then you wonder, is he Matt Leinart? You know, is this kid, you know, one of these other Sam? I go way back, Paul McDonald. I mean, what one of those guys is he?
Mark Sanchez. Don't forget
Mark
him.
Sanchez,
you know, number five overall selection. I mean, who's Sam Darnold? And
Sanchez took his team to the
good quarterbacks.
Sanchez took his team to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. I mean, come on, it's got to count for something.
Yeah, it's called having the number one running game in the league with Thomas Jones leading rusher in the NFL and also the number one defense as well with Rex Ryan. So let's not give Sanchez too much credit, although he did play well in the postseason. That's the only claim to fame he truly deserves.
Yeah, Dan Schwartzman with us, NBC Sports Radio. All right, we talked about Saquon Barkley. I want to ask you the same thing because people have him going in the top five somewhere, six maybe. He doesn't get past the Colts probably, you know, at six. I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked the guy from Dallas yesterday. I give you Saquon Barkley right now for Ezekiel Elliott. What do you do?
I do it. Two reasons. He's a better receiver out of the backfield, and he's also a guy that's not a knucklehead. So I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to miss games due to suspension for doing something stupid. The possibility of lengthier suspensions down the road if Ezekiel Elliott doesn't wake up from his funk of being immature. I also think, look, Ezekiel Elliott's a heck of a back, but he also played at least his rookie year behind the best offensive line in football. Mm-hmm. That couple of years before that, DeMarco Murray rushed for 1,800 yards behind. So, look, I'm not saying Ezekiel Elliott's not very good. I think he's an incredibly good running back. I think Saquon Barkley's just a better overall running back. I make that deal.
Well, the reason I'm using that analogy, he's the last one to go really high, you know, to go like that. There's, of course, Leonard Fournette.
Well, Fournette. I mean, Fournette went three.
Yeah, right. And I would take Barkley over Fournette, too, because I think Barkley is a more well-rounded. See, here's my dilemma with it, too. If I'm in the back, I'm running back market, there are guys. See, I think Sony Michel and or Nick Chubb are going to be really, really good running backs in the NFL. I don't know that the drop-off is so drastic that you can't wait and get one of these other backs, you know, early in the second round necessarily if you're in the back running back market.
Oh, I agree 100%. I don't take a running back top five. I don't think there's enough value to take a running back because you can get Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, amongst other pretty decent backs later on anyway. Here's a name, though, and I want your thoughts on this, Tom, because you know football very well. Everybody talks about Quentin Nelson being a top guard. Like, he could step into the NFL the way Zach Martin stepped into the NFL and became an all-pro in his first year. If you're the New York Giants at number two, and your biggest deficiency last year and the year before has been the offensive line, can you justify taking a guard with the second pick?
I say absolutely. And I don't understand why people discount the guard. The guard is, you know, look, the tackle is obviously very, very important. That's a guy that's going to, you know, take care of your quarterback on the blind side. The guard is as close to the quarterback as anybody is. I mean, if you want to, plus, you got no running game without a guard. If you got a guard that you think is a perennial Pro Bowl guard. You know what I mean? A Joe Thomas type guy, but that's inside. If he's that guy, why wouldn't you? It takes care of your quarterback. You don't get that huge push up the gut, and it's huge in your running game. And if you're the Giants, you got to run the ball, man. You know, if you're even if it, and I don't know how long he lasts, but even if you look at some of these other teams that are drafting, you know, in the 5, 6, 7 range like that, you know, yeah, I think to discount a guard because of his position is ridiculous. I mean, ask running backs how good guards are, you know.
Especially in today's NFL, we have such big and athletic guys in the middle that a center by themselves is going to have a hard time going up against. I think guards are important. You're right. Look, Scherf went, what, top five to the Redskins a couple of years ago. So yeah. I think that's a name to look out for at pick number two. And I think for the Indianapolis Colts moving to number six, the reason why they made the deal with the Jets, besides getting 3 second-round picks out of it too, is I think they feel that at pick number six, they need help at cornerback. Minkah Fitzpatrick could be there. They need help on the offensive line. Quentin Nelson could be there. So I think looking, thinking to themselves, all right, we get all these extra picks, and we cross our fingers, and we hope that one of those two guys, one guard, one cornerback, falls to us at pick number six still.
Yeah. The interesting thing is going to be, could the Browns take Bradley Chubb at one and pair him with Myles Garrett, who in the 11 games he played had 7.5 sacks? Could the Browns risk the quarterback situation? And I know they got Tyrod Taylor, but that's like getting, maybe Teddy Bridgewater. But, you know, could the Browns take Chubb at one if he's a real can't-miss guy and then take the third quarterback at four? You know, if the Giants take Barkley and then the Jets get the top quarterback on the board, and I think the Browns would be happy with Allen, Rosen, Darnold, or Mayfield, whichever one wasn't picked by the Jets.
Okay, but how about if you take Saquon Barkley one if you're the Browns, and then you wait 3 picks and you get one of the top 3 quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think ultimately they've been so quarterback-starved for 20 years. If they have one, they really – see, that's the thing is I just don't know – I can't tell you out of Allen, Rosen, Darnold, and Mayfield, I cannot sit here right now and definitively tell you which two are going to be Pro Bowlers and which two are going to be out of the league in 3 years. I can't tell you who's Vince Young and who's Russell Wilson.
Here's the big problem for the Cleveland Browns. You mentioned it. They've been quarterback-starved, and in the last 2 drafts, Tom, they traded out of the slot that ended up being Carson Wentz, and they traded out of the slot that ended up being Deshaun Watson. They cannot trade out of the slot or not draft a quarterback with the first pick who ends up becoming a star elsewhere who's a number 2 or number 3 pick, because they'll never live down 3 straight drafts of having a guy who could be a game-changing quarterback literally go in the slot they trade out of.
Which one is that, though? That's the key. Which
you
one
know
of
what?
Those?
Thank God Sashi Brown's not making that decision for them, right? John Dorsey, at least, I think, has somewhat of a clue.
Well, you know, yeah, but you never know if who Jimmy Haslam, if he walks by like a bum in the street on the way, the bum that told him to draft Johnny Manziel, you know, who knows if he goes by the bum in the street and they tell him to take, you know, some other guy. And the next thing you know, they're taking some other quarterback. You know, you just don't know. But in any event, we'll see. All right. Finally, by the way, our beloved Yankees picked by Sports Illustrated to win the AL East, and they have to go and put both Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge on the cover of the SI, the baseball preview issue of the SI, which means now both of those guys will be out for the season by the late April or something probably. But in all seriousness, is there enough pitching there? I mean, I know they're going to club a lot of home runs. You can win 95 games. Is there enough pitching there to get through Houston, to get through whoever comes out of National League, to get through those kind of people right now? Are we depending too much on a CeCe Sabathia?
No, because the bullpen's phenomenal. CeCe Sabathia has to give you 5 or 6 innings, and that's it. When you can parade out in any order, Adam Warren, Tommy Kahnle, Chad Green, Dellin Betances, Aroldis Chapman, Jason Treves, a pretty good situational lefty, amazingly. I mean, there are so many weapons in that bullpen. It's the best bullpen in baseball. You got Severino. You have Tanaka, who I think will pitch well this year. Sonny Gray gets a full year with the Yankees. He's a very good number 3 starter. Yeah, honestly, could it be a better rotation? Sure, it could be a better rotation. But the fact is, because how great that bullpen is, Tom, it'll cover up any deficiencies with the starters because they don't have to go as long.
I think the key to the whole thing is Sonny Gray, and I love Sonny Gray. I think the key to the whole deal is Sonny Gray. If Sonny Gray is 16-7, something like that, then the Yankees are in the World Series. I mean, I think it's
problem
all
is,
about Sonny Gray.
The problem is, and I like Sonny Gray too. The problem is he throws too many damn pitches. He's in the he's in the fifth inning at 80 pitches. I mean, he's in the sixth inning at 100 pitches, and he's got to be taken out. I mean, he's just got to throw more strikes.
Yeah, but like you, just said about the bullpen. I mean, if he's in, you know, if he's in that situation and they're up, you know, 3-1, then get him out of there and, you know, let the bullpen do their thing. So we'll see.
You're right.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Hey, always a pleasure. It's great. Tell people how they can find you. What time are you on and what when and how they can find you on the NBC Sports app and all that good stuff.
I'm on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. I'm on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. with Rodney Harrison. You can find on NBC Sports Radio app, NBCSportsRadio.com, or whatever local market you're in, that can be heard. Absolutely.
All right, man. Appreciate you as always.
Anytime, Tommy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thank you. There you go, Dan Schwartzman. All right, let's get a break. When we return, we'll keep this conversation going. Alan Carpenter talks Country Hardball next, Brave style, right here at 7:30, 103.9 AM.
7:30 and 103.9, The Ump. More sports. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but if you tune in tomorrow starting at 5 o'clock, you can catch all of the Sweet 16 action. That's all night, all right here on The Ump.
When your small business is growing, you get familiar with the phrase, that's a good problem to have. Good problem one, you're too busy to answer the phone. Solution, Ooma Office. Its virtual receptionist directs calls to the right extension. Number two, new business is keeping you from the office. Solution, an Ooma mobile app that helps you take calls from anywhere. And three, it starts at just $19.95 a month. Well, no problem there. Just good. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA. Or call 866-840-8792 to find out more.
For a child battling a critical illness, a wish come true can be a turning point. Make-A-Wish needs your support to grant the wish of every eligible child. Learn more and help grant more life-changing wishes at wish.org.
Attention all veterans, transitioning service members, and military spouses. Warriors to the Workforce presents in association with Still Serving Veterans, the AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, March 27th at the VBC in Huntsville. Are you looking for a job? Would you like to meet some veteran-friendly companies ready to hire? Would you like to hear and participate in some great discussions about transition? Then come participate in the AFF's nationwide initiative to help veterans find jobs. At the AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., March 27th at the VBC. Attendance is free for veterans, military service members, and military spouses. Don't wait. Get your future started now. Register today at warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net. That's warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net.
Time is running out. African penguin colonies have emptied in the last 5 years as their breeding populations have gone from 2 million pairs to less than 25,000. Together, we can turn things around. Your support to the San Diego Zoo Global Wildlife Conservancy helps support solutions by providing artificial nest boxes, hand-raising chicks for release, and rehabilitating injured penguins. So together, we can repopulate the colonies of our tuxedo-wearing friends. Join us now at endextinction.org.
I'm Jeremy Schapp. I have Crohn's disease. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America's Take Steps Walk program is dedicated to raising funds and awareness to combat Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. To find a walk site near you, visit www.cctakesteps.org.
Shelter Pets would do anything to get their friends adopted. So Shelter Pets are taking matters into their own paws and making social posts of their very own. Everything these adorable pets touch turns into social post magic. Nudging a ball selects a background. Clicking an emoji adds one. Tapping the keyboard hashtags it. Of course, these posts are adorable. They're made by amazing Shelter Pets. Start a story. Adopt.
Hi, I'm Megan Hoffer, and welcome to Heartbeat. Probably each of us as a child played the game hide and seek. What a fun time, especially if you were the one doing the seeking. As we grow up, we began to understand another kind of hide and seek. We hide our emotions and feelings because we do not want to become too transparent. Often, those who love us will ask us questions and seek to try and help us. In the Bible, Jesus Christ says to us in Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Instead of hiding your emotions and feelings today, talk with God and ask Him for all your needs. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Weather is sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Partially sunny, windy, and cool this afternoon. The high today around 52. Clear and cold tonight. Some frost is likely tomorrow morning. The low at 32. Tomorrow a sunny day. The high 58. And for Friday, the sky partly to mostly sunny. The high at 60. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household. The big dog, Tom Abraham.
I'm a freaking Bama. I'm a freaking Bama. Tom refers to her bandana. She screams, I'm a freaking Bama. Bama.
1 week from tomorrow, it all gets started for real. Doesn't it seem like it just came fast? I mean, it just jumped on us just like that. I mean, you know, 1 minute ago we were saying, oh, this is great, man. Pitchers and catchers are, you know, reporting. And then the next minute, boom, here it is. And joining us now to talk about the prospects for the Braves, the one and the only Alan Carpenter from TomahawkTake.com. Carp, welcome back. How are you?
I'm kind of hanging in there today, a little bit under the weather, but I don't think a DL stint will be necessary.
No, you think you'll be all right? You think you're going to make it through?
I think we'll hang in there. Hey, I got something to clean up real quick from last week, if you would.
Clean it up.
You had asked about mound visits.
Yeah.
And what counts and what doesn't count. I realized I had misread the rule a little bit. There is no exception for taking out a pitcher during the middle of an inning. That also counts as a mound visit. So you're going to get six. And that's it. That counts taking pitchers out. The exception
so
was
six mound visits. But does that include the catcher going out to the mound?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, some of these games you see them use six pitchers. You know what I mean? It's gonna change the strategy on when you change the pitcher. You might wait to try and get to the end of an inning and come out with a new pitcher at the beginning of an inning and not necessarily change it. The pitcher, you could end up burning up two mound visits. You know how sometimes they'll come out there and they'll change a pitcher again. There's two mound visits right there in the sixth inning.
That's right. So you're going to have to be aware of that and watch what you're doing. The only real exceptions that you're going to see are for things like the catcher gets crossed up and the umpire lets him go out to fix the signs with a pitcher, or if maybe there's an offensive substitution on the other side. And this is the exception I misread last week. If it's an offensive pinch hitter that comes up that the guy's never seen before, somebody can run out and give the pitcher a quick scouting report.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Well, see, they're gonna cheat. I mean, that's baseball. You figure out ways to cheat on that stuff to, you know, let the ball go through or something like that. They'll figure out ways to do it. The guy that's in trouble here is going to be Gary Sanchez. I mean, he'll go out five times in an inning sometimes. I mean, they're going to have to tell Gary Sanchez, hey, stop going out. You got to stay behind the plate. You're killing all the chances we got to go out there and change a pitcher.
Yeah, he does that. Brian McCann is notorious for doing that too. He was out there all the time during the playoffs last year. So, yeah, it's going to be an adjustment for a lot of guys.
What are they going to do with, I mean, is there any break in the rule? I mean, what happens if you just go out there and it's like, wait a minute, you're Chris Webber and you got no timeouts left and you call timeout. You know, there's the technical foul. What happens if you've had your six trips and then all of a sudden the shortstop comes in to talk to the pitcher?
What is supposed to happen is the umpire is supposed to step in and say, you can't go out and do that. And if he doesn't anyway, then the only recourse is to throw a guy out of the game. And that's going to be fun to watch, too, because now you might end up having some arguments that didn't happen before, and suddenly your pace of play rules are out the window. Because that's exactly what they were intended to avoid here. But I don't think those are very long conversations at all, yet they're going to ban those kind of things, too.
You would think that they would just charge him a ball. You know what I mean? Just say, okay, just charge him with a ball. And I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Now, that's only on the minor league level, though. We should qualify all of this, that this is only in the minors. The 15-second pitch clock is in the minors. Right now, no change to anything at the major league level. Is that correct?
Contraire. The mound visit rule is a major league change.
How did they get that by the union?
The union kind of had to go along with it because last year Rob Manfred came up with a list of things that he wanted to do, and he set those in place with a, sort of his own clock ticking. The collective bargaining agreement allowed him to impose any rules that he wanted to if a year had passed by. And so the union was in the no-win position of saying, okay, we'll acquiesce to these rules that you're proposing for 2018, if you please, just don't do the pitch clock kind of thing. And that's essentially what had to happen there.
Yeah. All right. Apparently there is no making a team in spring training because Ronald Acuna Jr. was hitting, 432 and four home runs, and they sent him down. They sent him down, and then the GM says, Alex Anthopoulos, he says, in the end, we got to do what's best for the player and blah, 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 blah. That's not best for the player. That's best for the team, because the only reason it can be that they're sending him down, and we'll see how quickly they bring him up after the April 14th or whatever date it's going to be. The only reason they're doing this is to get another year of control over the guy and not start the clock ticking, right?
That's exactly what's happened. Oh, by the way, Acuna today was on base all four times he got up. In a minor league game, so he's kind of still saying, hello, I'm still here.
Yeah, right.
The length of a major league season this year is 186 days. Because of archaic rules of schedules and off days from times past, the maximum number of days you can accumulate for service time by rule is 172. Therefore, if you have 171 days of service time, you do not have a full year of service. And that day for Ronald Acuna would happen on Friday, April 13th. So that's the day that I believe that he's going to be called up. Oh, by the way, that happens to coincide with the date that Daniel Winkler, a relief pitcher that the Braves acquired in 2014 by the Rule 5 draft, if he stays on the roster and stays healthy, which has been a problem for him over the last 4 years, if he stays on the roster that long, he can now become the full property of the Braves on April 13th. So I think you're going to see two transactions happen that day. You're going to see Winkler sent to the minors. You're going to see Acuna brought up.
Yeah, Anthopoulos said, is that saying this right, his name right? Anthopoulos, is that how you say it?
Close enough.
Okay, well, Alex.
Double A, you know, anything like
double
that.
Double A, AA, AA. Yeah, that's not a good initial. The AA says that the he says, you're going to get criticized in these jobs no matter what you do. We have to do what feels right and what's best for the player in the long run. Our priority is what's best for Ronald Acuna's development, what's best for Mike Soroka's development, who's also sent down, who should be on the opening day roster. He says, ultimately, we still have a responsibility to the Braves to put the best team out on the field, but the number one priority is going to be player development of each player, because we want them, when they're up here, to stay up here. We want them to have long, productive, and healthy careers, close quote. He's lying right through his teeth. You know what I mean? Just say it, what it is. Don't sit there and tell us that's what's best. What's best for the Braves is for these guys to be in a rotation and to be in a lineup on day one, and that goes for Mike Soroka, too.
Yeah, I think it does. Now, as it turns out, the Braves are not going to need a fifth starter until April 10th or 11th, somewhere in there. And that's probably actually going to be Scott Kazmir at that point. Mike Soroka, you could make a better argument that it needs a little bit more time. He has not seen AAA Yeah, and he's going to probably start there this year. So it makes sense to give him some more time. But I don't have any doubt at all that if he does what he was doing in spring and last year, that he'll be up in the rotation at some point during the year, perhaps after the trade deadline when a couple of these veteran pitchers are jettisoned.
Yeah. All right. What else is going on in camp? They have pulled to win in one game of 500. I know it's just spring training, but you know, I think they learn how to win. I think that's an important thing after having a slow start to play tonight. I think who are they playing tonight? Detroit maybe, and Detroit tonight with a chance to even their record with just a week to go. So what else has been going on there developmental wise?
Well, I'll go ahead and throw this out too. If you happen, for those listening here, if you happen to be away from a radio and not able to catch the fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show tonight, the Braves will be on Fox Sports South tonight against Detroit, and you can see Brandon McCarthy playing. The pitching is holding, the starting pitching especially, is holding up very well. I believe their stats are something like third in the majors in terms of ERA. Julio Teheran's been very good. Mike Foltynewicz has been lights out. He still hasn't given up a run in the entire spring. Brandon McCarthy's been pitching well. Sean Newcomb seems to have found himself and found a way to pound the strike zone without giving up a lot of walks. That's very important for him. Scott Kazmir kind of hanging in there, still not gotten a lot of innings in yet, but we're hoping again that by the 10th of April or so he'll be able to make a start, and if not him, then it'll be Anibal Sanchez, who they signed last week. The bullpen is kind of hanging in there, and it looks like most of the decisions have been made on that. Vizcaino, A.J. Minter, Jose Ramirez, Sam Freeman, Dan Winkler, as mentioned before, and Peter Moylan are probably the locks there. Don't know if they're going to add another one or if Scott Kazmir is going to go there. Kazmir probably has to make the active roster. For one thing, he can't be sent to the minor leagues without his permission, and they're not going to release him. So I believe he's probably going to end up being the long man in the bullpen for a while. Whether they add another arm out there for the interim is an interesting question, but right now that's a little up in the air. The bench looks like, first off, let me do third base. Johan Camargo may or may not be ready for opening day. He's still nursing an injury that he had near his right oblique muscle, and that's going to keep him, has kept him sidelined for a while and not being able to get reps in. So it's very possible that Rio Ruiz could end up being the starting day third baseman. Charlie Culberson will be the utility infielder. Danny Santana could make the team. He'll have to be added to the 40-man roster. Lane Adams is starting to finally hit a little bit. He's probably going to be on the team opening day because he's out of options, and he is on the 40-man roster. Preston Tucker seems to like he's earned the spot as the starting left fielder, pending Ronald Acuna, of course. In terms of whether anybody else is added, like a third catcher or an extra infielder, it's hard to say. But right now, that's the biggest battles that we've seen come out in the last couple of weeks. Looks like the hitting is improving, the pitching is improving, and I'm a little optimistic as we go forward into the opening season next week.
74.5 is where Vegas has them at. I like them around. I think they're gonna push 80. What do you think?
I've been thinking 77, and part of that has to do with whether they, you know, how long they keep the veteran pitchers around. If they intend to try and trade them, as the plan had been last year, then that'll mean more guys like Soroka or eventually Luis Guajardo once he returns from his ankle injury in May, I hope. Guys like that that'll be coming up and getting some extra innings that may have some rocky roads here and there. So the Braves, I think, are going to live and die by their starting pitching. We pretty much know what the offense is going to be. It's going to be a lot of doubles, a lot of singles, and not a lot of home runs, drive-in runs. So they're going to rely on the pitching more than anything else. If the starting pitching and the bullpen holds together, then they could be pushing 80. But I'm banking on about 77.
Chipper Jones, whose son is his oldest son is named Shea because he loved hitting at Shea Stadium. He's going to name his son, which is due this summer, July 30th is when his next child is due, and it's they know that it's a boy. He's going to name the child Cooper, which is a really cool name, Cooper Jones. But he's going to name the kid Cooper because he's going into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. I think that's pretty cool, right? I mean, it's you know, it's better. You know, if he was an NFL player, it would be Canton. If he was a hockey player, they'd have to name the kid Toronto. You know, that would suck, right? They name a kid Toronto or Springfield if he was a basketball player. But Cooper, it's a pretty cool name. It's a pretty good baseball name.
Cooper works. What's fascinating to me is I've lost count. I think I can't remember if this is going to be his fifth or sixth child, and they're all boys.
Wow.
He's managed to put together almost a baseball team worth there in boys, and yeah. That's pretty impressive right there. But, he's had a little fun with child names over the years and gotten some good mileage out of that. But I do like Cooper. I think that's impressive, too.
Yeah. Well, that is impressive for him because, you know, there's a technique to make boys. I know. I mean, I have nine kids, all of them boys except for five. And there is a proven technique, which I can't discuss on the air because I would get fired. It would be against the FCC regulations. But sometime when I see you in person, I'll have to tell you how that works.
Well, I'm a little past that as you are, I think. So.
Well, you are, but T-Mac's going
to
take notes.
T-Mac, generation.
Yeah, T-Mac is already waiting to ask me during the break because he's taking notes now since he's newly married. And he's like, oh, dog has a technique to make a boy, huh? Okay. So I'll have to share that with him next. All right, man, always good. Appreciate you as always. Alan Carpenter, next week, Carp, we'll be talking a day before opening day.
Sounds good. I might even be headed over there that day.
That's cool. That's a good thing. I'd like to go over for that exhibition game against the Yankees, but I don't know if I'm going to make that. All right, man, appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks much.
All right, I got to get to a break. T-Mac wants to know how to make a boy. This is Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op, WUMP.
This is Jim Rome of the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by NHTSA. Don't try to beat a train across the tracks. Stop. Trains can't. Canelo Alvarez and Triple G are not stepping into the ring until May 5th in Las Vegas, but haymakers are already being thrown and landed by Triple G. Remember, Canelo had failed two tests for clenbuterol last month, and Triple G, speaking to reporters yesterday, was not buying his excuse that he had consumed tainted meat. Quote, again with Mexican meat? Come on, I told you it's not Mexican meat. This is Canelo. This is his team. This is his promotion. Quote, end of quote. Bang. It sounds like he wants to fight a guy who doesn't cheat, allegedly. It sounds like he wants to fight right now, and I wish they would. I'm Jim Rome.
If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right. They will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Monster Jam. See it. Hear it. Feel it. See Grave Digger, Scooby-Doo, and more. Brought to you by Metro PCS. The fun begins at the pit party, where you can meet the drivers, get autographs, and see the trucks up close. Must have valid event ticket to enter pit party. Get your free pit party pass at participating Metro PCS locations. See pit party pass for details and restrictions. Coming to Von Braun Center, April 20th through 22nd. Lock in your seats today.
Your parents took care of you. Then, one day, you start caring for them. It's one of those moments when people realize that where you get your medicine matters. And they look to CVS Pharmacy for advice and ways to save money. Plus, you can earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling prescriptions. So join us at CVS Pharmacy. Terms and conditions apply. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other state restrictions apply. See cvs.com/pharmacy rewards or the pharmacy for details.
I'm having that 6:59 feeling again.
What?
You know, that mini panic attack right before the workday starts when you're sure you've forgotten something?
Nope, that's my favorite time of day. I work with Cintas, so I always know we're ready for the workday. They handle our uniforms, fire extinguishers, first aid, safety training, floor mats, and restroom supplies.
I think I need to call Cintas.
They might just make a morning person out of you.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
I'm a veteran. We hit a mine in Vietnam. When I came home, I didn't know where to turn.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
My victory's been never giving up hope. My wife is always there to remind me we have a life to live.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran, but after I got out, I spent 2 years alone and homeless.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was finding the support to get back on my feet. Now I'm getting things right with my family.
I finally admitted, with my PTSD, I wasn't doing well.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
Now I wish I'd found DAV sooner. I am a veteran. My victory is just enjoying each day.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Partially sunny, windy, and cool this afternoon. The high today around 52. Clear and cold tonight. Some frost is likely tomorrow morning. The low at 32. Tomorrow a sunny day. The high 58. And for Friday, the sky partly to mostly sunny. The high at 60. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
All right, T-Mac, give us a little bit of information. Give us what's going on around the neighborhood in a Doghouse Sports Report.
Alabama baseball dropped their game in Birmingham yesterday to UAB 6-4. The Crimson Tide will now get ready to take a trip to Knoxville for a three-game series against Tennessee that starts on Friday. And like the Crimson Tide, the Auburn Tigers, their baseball squad, dropped their second straight game as well last night. This one in the ATL against Georgia Tech. Auburn will start their three-game series Friday in Lexington against Kentucky. And Ndamukong Suh canceled his meeting with the Raiders that was scheduled for today. Ooh. He has also narrowed down his free agency list to the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans. The cancellation came after his meeting with the Rams, but Suh is not expected to make a decision today. And the Raiders have restructured Marshawn Lynch's contract, which puts an end to the rumors that he would not be back with the team after they signed Doug Martin. His base salary for next year is now $5.5 million, which is $500,000 less than before. But this time, $4.5 million is guaranteed as opposed to zero guarantees in the contract before. I am Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report.
Now, you know my Chicago story, right? You've been around long enough to hear the Chicago story?
No, I don't think I've heard the Chicago deal.
Well, you heard the guy singing there at the beginning of that song. That's Peter Cetera, right?
Yes.
Lead singer for Chicago for years and years, and then he went off and had a solo career that created a lot of children because he had some really romantic-type songs and stuff that were out there. But I was looking for some tie wraps at a high school football game at a private school at CPA in the Nashville area. And I went over, it was homecoming, and I went over and I asked the lady, I said, hey, ma'am, I said, you got any tie wraps? My guy over here is hanging banners. We need tie wraps. And a guy turns around and he says, it's the big dog. And I'm like, hey, man, how are you? And he comes over and he goes, I'm a huge fan of yours. I listen all the time when I'm in town. I'm Peter Cetera. I said, of course you're Peter Cetera. I'm a huge fan of yours. I said, I'm a big Chicago fan, and we talked about the whole breakup of Chicago and all that story. And he has a daughter that goes to CPA, and he recognized me from my voice from across like 30 yards of the field. Came running over. Peter Cetera. Fun story. All right, we'll be back. It's Tom Abraham Show. Bo Estes is next.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The UMP. WUMP.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now on a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text WEALTH to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited. Text WEALTH to 82,000 right now because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Text WEALTH to 82,000. That's WEALTH to 82,000.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
To battle is to fight, to struggle, to overcome, and ultimately for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise to our nation. A promise kept for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the...
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison, Huntsville, a Cumulus station. The UMP is your home for the $1,000 payoff. Four chances every weekday to win $1,000. Coming Thursday.